I'm Paul Lair, and I've got anger issues. Convenient fees on Live Nation, that pisses me off. People who drive slow in traffic, that pisses me off. Dropping things, that pisses me off. So what do I do to manage my anger? I have a podcast called Say Anger, where I have a guest on every week. They tell me what makes them angry, and then it's like this little therapy session. It'll help you out. It sure as hell helps me out. So help me help you by subscribing to the Nerdist School Network.
The Nerdist School Network. For class and show information, visit nerdistschool.com.
Hey, foodie callers. Thank you so much for tuning in with us every week. If you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. Fun fact, leaving a review makes a huge difference with iTunes and helps us bring you more foodie call every freaking week. Did you know we're also on social media? You can follow us for live foodie updates on Instagram and Twitter at @FoodieCallPod. And for recipes and confusing posts from my great aunt Virginia, like our Facebook page, facebook.com/FoodieCallPodcast. Got a suggestion for a guest or want some meat sale advice from Omar? Shoot us an email, foodiecallpodcast@gmail.com. Did you get all that? For our social security and credit card numbers, listen to the end of this show. Thanks so much for listening. We love you way more than grocery flyers.
Foodie, 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 foodie,
foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie,
foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie,
foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie,
foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie,
foodie, where each week we discuss one delicious dish with a hilarious guest and find out what their secrets are in the kitchen. I'm your host, Kylie Hodges, TV host, blogger, producer, a bunch of things. Sometimes I'm super employed and sometimes I'm super unemployed. And
always super, though.
Always super. And yesterday I made scallops for the first time. Sitting across from me is Omar Nava, comedian, writer, and birthday boy.
What?
His birthday is in 4 days.
Get out of here.
Hi, Omi.
Hello.
Together, through our disgustingly adorable love for each other, we found we also love to cook and eat together, and we want to discuss with the world what it is that makes food so great.
Yum.
Yum, indeed. All right, now, this is our sweet and sour moment, as everybody knows, but with the events going on in the world today, I don't even want to talk about it. I feel like that is our sour moment. It doesn't need to be said. And a lot of people are using their platforms right now to talk about it and debate and like dissect everything that's going on to death. And one of the reasons that I turn to podcasts or whatever is to not think about, oh shit. is to not think about the sad things in the world. And so I hope that we can give you guys 40-ish minutes of fun and smiles. Or, I don't know, maybe you're laughing at us and not with us. Whatever. Throughout your week. Just to take the stress of the real world off everyone's back.
It'll be a nice little reprieve.
Reprieve. Nobody uses that word, Omar.
It'll be a nice little, I don't know.
You can just listen to us. I was about to say retard because retard. It's a music term, and then I immediately felt like an asshole for thinking it, and then I just said it.
It's also, I use that term at General Motors.
Retard?
Yeah, when I was an engine spark calibrator, so the little ignition that lights all the combustion, that starts the combustion process. You can advance the spark, meaning make it explode or light early, or you can retard the spark, meaning make it ignite later. So don't claim the word retard for music. It's used elsewhere.
I actually stopped listening to what you were saying like a minute ago.
Oh my God, she hates nerd stuff.
I got a little verklempt there talking about the world's sour moment today. So Omi, what is your sweet moment?
My sweet moment was, speaking of General Motors, one of my friends, Danielle Williams, a long time not listener, first time visitor.
Hopefully first time listener with this episode, yeah, because now that you've mentioned her, you're going to text her the link to listen.
Now that I've dropped, name dropped her, I'm gonna be like, we talked about you for 40 minutes straight. No, Danielle, a really good friend of mine. She worked with me. We were in the same group. Like, our cubicles were, I don't know, four cubes apart. And we, like, went on work trips together, like, our whole group. So I got to know Danielle really well in Michigan. And we like, would call each other twins because we had, like, the same, like, similar tastes in food. And just, like, I don't know, just, like, in talking, like, we just had, like, a lot of things in common. So we'd be like, oh, yeah, same. Oh, my God, we're, like, twins, even though she's a few years older than me. So it kind of ended up being more like a, she was, like, my Michigan big sister. Anyway, we've, like, kept in touch since I left Michigan many moons ago. Mm-hmm. And she texted me last week saying that she was going to be in L.A. visiting one of her good friends out in Pasadena, and she would love to see us. And good thing, or I guess lucky for us, our schedules worked out where she was able to come over to our apartment on Sunday. Right. To have some of those delicious scallops you were talking about.
Scallops. Why is it that we say it that way?
So...
we've said it that way so much, and now I don't even...
Yeah, going back to General Motors again.
Oh, God.
Our lead calibrator, so basically one of mine and Danielle's, like, superiors at GM, his name was Pinho, Edmilson Pinho. And he was from Brazil. He talked like this. He would call me Omar's. I don't know why my name was plural, but he would add an S. And whenever we'd go on these work trips, like the last day, or like he would always pick like one day where we would be done by noon, just like a half day, or like just finish early. And he would go to the market and just get like steaks or fish and potatoes and vegetables and just like grill up delicious food. And he would, like, once or twice he bought scallops, but because he talked like this, he called them scallops. So now I call them scallops because Omar's like scallops.
That was wonderful.
Thank you. So that was my sweet moment. Danielle came over. We had some good food, good talk, and then we went to Milk Bar. Or is it just called Milk?
It's called Milk.
Milk.
There's also a Milk Bar in New York City.
Okay, not to be confused. We didn't fly to New York, though we did talk about flying to Las Vegas for a night.
We did.
But no, we went to this place called Milk and just got desserts. Too many desserts, if you ask me.
Yeah, speaking of flying, there's this company called JetSuite X, I think, and they...
are not paying us for this free sponsor.
They're not, but they should. A lot of people I know who are bloggers... who clearly have a bigger following than me, have been getting these free experiences with JetSuite X, and then they're, you know, talking about it on social media. And it's a private plane from, like, L.A. to a few cities, but everyone I know has been using it to go to Vegas. And it's pretty affordable. Like, we looked up on a Monday night to fly from LA to Vegas for a 24-hour trip, and it was only like $275, which is cheaper than flying to Wisconsin for Christmas. So
yeah,
maybe we should just get a private plane.
Maybe. Or maybe they should just give us free flights.
They should.
We're giving you free advertisements.
We are offering our services of sitting in your plane. my sweet moment is super sweet.
How sweet is it?
In the last episode... you guys were, I'm sure, hanging by a thread.
On the edges of your seats.
Trying to figure out, is Kylie's sister-in-law gonna give birth?
Is Kylie gonna be a two-time aunt?
And do you want to know what the answer is?
I think we know.
I am!
Woo!
So, she actually, when I got the text during this last episode... was in false labor.
Faux.
And then 24 hours, or I'm sorry, almost 48 hours later, because we recorded on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tuesday morning, I woke up to a text message that said, we're going to the hospital. And so I decided on a whim to check out flights online as a joke almost, to be like, yeah, I wonder what it would be like to fly today. And good old... the mega bus of the sky, the garbage dumpster of all airlines, Spirit.
Our personal JetSuite X.
Yeah, that's That's our personal...
The poor man's Jet Sweet X.
Oh, God. It's so poor feeling. Spirit had really cheap flights, so I said YOLO. Booked a flight for that night. Flew into Minneapolis to see my family, and I got to hold my baby niece. Her name is Josephine Elise.
Josie.
She was only 24 hours old when I got to hold her. She was still in the hospital. And her we actually call her Josie, and her middle name Elise is a marriage of her grandmother's name, so Elaine and then Alice, which is my mom's name, put together as Elise, which I think is very sweet. She's tiny and she's, you know, beautiful.
Perfect.
She's perfect. Oh, yeah. I'm getting all verklempt again.
Oh, she's so sweet.
I have to say, though, you know, if we're going to play favorites, I do still have a favorite niece, and it's Madeline. Josie just needs to up her game a little bit with personality. She's a little boring.
She's a little bland right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, she's a little lame still, but, you know, she'll come around. The fun part of going home, too, was because my brother and sister-in-law were in the hospital with the baby still, their almost three-year-old daughter, Madeline, had to go to school. She goes to 3K. So I got to get her ready for school and then help her on the bus. And it was like the most precious thing because she's like really proud of herself for like climbing up the bus steps. And then the helper on the bus meets her at the top of the step. And then because she's so tiny, these kids have to wear harnesses and then they get clipped into the bus. And you could see her through the bus window, like, looking at us and grinning as she's getting clipped in. And she was waving. And it was very, very cute. And I loved every moment of it.
Oh, so Maddie baby.
It was a very sweet moment for me.
Oh, that sounds like a very sweet week.
It was. Omi.
Yes?
It's getting to be that time. Give us them deals and steals.
Deals and steals, yo.
Wow, 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 wow. One of these days, I'll actually create an intro transition for that. But.
Nah, we'll just get like a tap dancing cricket to come onto the show and just. I think you guys can hear that. I'm not sure. We'll go back and listen to the levels. That was our tap dancing cricket announce the deals and steals. So I'm going to tell you guys the deals that we actually took advantage of. Usually I just kind of give generic deals, but I want you guys to know
how poor we are.
I'm not just advertising. I'm not just an advocate. I'm also
an addict?
No, not an addict.
I don't know.
It's like from the Oops, I Crap My Pants thing. I don't remember. Whatever. I just want you guys to know that I walk the walk. I'm not just up here talking the talk. So these are the things we bought. We bought cauliflower, 49 cents a pound. We haven't used it yet, but we're planning on making a roasted cauliflower.
Yeah, I like to just cut it up into florets, whatever. Toss it in a little olive oil, squeeze some lemon juice on it, and put a shit ton of minced garlic all over it. And a little salt and pepper, and then roast it at 425 for like 15 minutes, and ooh.
Watch out, world.
Ooh.
She also tops it with a little nutritional yeast.
Oh, yeah, to give it like a cheesy flavor. I still don't know what nutritional yeast is, but like healthy food bloggers
nutritional.
Use it, so I'm fine with it. And when I hear the word yeast, I think of vaginas, and but it's like the good part.
I mean, vaginas are good.
Yeah, why did you grimace when I said...
No, I didn't grimace.
Gay?
Happy birthday to me. No, I made the initial grimace just because, I don't know,
vaginas.
We're talking about food and then you talk about
my
vaginas.
Yeast is
but
good
then,
for you, but just not in excess.
That's
so
true.
So I just figure a little nutritional yeast is just clearing things up downstairs for me.
Guys, I'm really into the microbiome, and because of that, I am a huge proponent of natural births. Because the baby gets the good bacteria on their way out as opposed to C-section births. Anyway,
that's
back
true.
To food.
It's actually a way to, like, cut down the likelihood your child will have autism. The more you know. Omar, give him the deals and steals.
All right, now that the,
now
that we've taken down Big Pharma, we might as well get to these deals, guys. another deal we made use of, $3.99 a pound for 93% super lean ground beef. It's not the good stuff, the grass-fed kind, but it's still pretty good.
It's good for, like...
We made a chili.
Yeah, I feel like if I'm going to buy meat that I'm not proud about, I'm going to cook it down a lot into a chili or a soup, or it's getting mixed in. It's not being turned into a hamburger patty.
Yeah. $1.79 a pound for chicken breasts, which we use to make a chicken salad, and Kylie's world famous bacon chicken Dijon chicken. I don't know what it was called.
It was like Dijon bacon chicken. It was really good. And if you guys follow me on Pinterest, it's on my Whole 30 Pinterest board, but I'll also share this recipe on our Facebook page. It was really good and really easy, and it was a good Whole 30 compliant dinner.
And so to go along with that, we bought some $4.99 a pound Coleman natural smoked bacon. No hormones or nitrates added. I didn't check the wrapper, but I'm sure it had a little sugar, which is not ideal, but whatever.
I'm sure.
2 out of 3 is not bad.
Yeah.
And last but not least, the scallops. Jumbo sea scallops, $9.99 a pound, which sounds like a lot, but scallops are kind of like a fancy seafood. And they're normally like $15 a pound. So
yeah.
We decided to splurge and get like a pound and a half.
A pound and a half definitely fed 3 people.
Yeah, fed 3 of us comfortably. In fact, I was nice and full afterward.
And with the scallops, I also made a blueberry ginger like reduction to pour over the scallops. And it was really good.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was really easy.
Yeah, it was very good. So that's what we got at Sprouts, and then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to get at Smart and Final tomorrow, because for those lucky enough to call themselves one of my good friends, for my birthday every year, for the past like 5-6 years, I've been making my mom's world-famous chile con queso recipe, which is just like a queso dip, for those in Texas that are familiar. And it's my mom's recipe. I always make it for friends on or around my birthday, and I just invite them over to have some food and drink. This year, the past couple years, though, I've, like, incorporated some extra foods, so, like, meats of some variety. So this year, like last year, I think, I'm going to make some pulled pork-style carnitas. And in order to do that, I need to get the Farmer Sean... the knockoff brand of Farmer John Pork Shoulder Picnic Roast, 99 cents a pound. So I can easily get like a 4-pound roast for like under $4. And that's what I will use to feed these vultures.
Los masses.
And that's it for the deals here in LA that we have taken advantage of and will take advantage of. But one last thing. Kylie's brother, Justin, sent her a video earlier of Woodman's, Wisconsin-based grocery store.
Yeah.
And they have the best, a.k.a. worst, commercials. And they're just so funny. One of them that he sent us a link to was literally they were advertising bleach and vinegar. And that's all the commercial talked about. So for anyone in Madison needing bleach and vinegar... Of course, you can buy them separately or together. Head on down to Woodman's and get yourself some bases and
Surefine
acids.
Surefine is the brand they sell. It's like the off-brand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like 5 gallons of bleach for like $1.29.
I think Big 8 is Surefine
brand.
So that's Woodman's is the Big 8 of Wisconsin, guys. Go get you some bleach.
I had never heard of Big 8 till I met you.
Oh, good. I'm glad I introduced you to it.
Yeah. I feel like people who don't live in Wisconsin need some background on Woodman's, though. It's like...
Christmas in July.
No, it's like...
Halloween in January.
Think of like a dumpy-ass, dirty grocery store built in the 80s that they haven't done anything to since... with just pallets of anything you could possibly think of. So it sounds like Costco, but Costco is nice compared to Woodman's. But
it's the dive bar of grocery stores.
It is. It's dirt cheap, and they have everything you could possibly want in one place. You never need to go anywhere else for variety. That's the one thing I miss, actually, living in L.A., Because you have to go to like 8 different grocery stores if you have like a whole week's worth of... If you truly wanted to get anything you need from your kitchen, you can't go to just one place here. And true. Woodman's is that place. And everything is like incredibly cheap. But if you have some time, go onto YouTube and type in Woodman's commercials and just watch them. They're so bad. Phil Woodman, the owner, he pulls his pants up to his nipples and he just like shouts deals at the camera and it's horrific.
So there you have it. Deals and steals.
Deals and steals. Thank you, Omar. I learned so much. All right. Well, so before we get to our guest, I want to just remind everybody listening, download the Kitchen Table app on October 14th. You could have a chance to come be on Foodie Call. We are doing a very special queso party / podcast party at our house.
Delicious queso that I was literally just talking about. So if you're like, what queso? Then I'll know you haven't been paying attention.
Download the app, RSVP, come to our podcast party, and you can be a part of an upcoming episode of Foodie Call. We would love to have you. We would love to meet you in real life.
We would love to help your careers because anyone who has come on to Foodie Call has...
skyrocketed.
Blown up.
Yeah.
Literally tens of fans.
Are you ready for our guest?
I sure am.
Let's do this.
All right.
It's time for a Foodie Call.
Okay. Today's guest is a stand-up comedian and writer. He abandoned a promising engineering career for an even more promising comedy writing career. He's currently part of CBS's Diversity Sketch Program, harvesting budding comedy talent that produces household names like SNL's Emmy Award-winning actress Kate McKinnon. His comedy is silly, sweet, and surprising, just like his kisses. Welcome, my super handsome, incredibly smart, kind, and wonderful boyfriend, Omar!
Well, this guy sounds like a real dummy.
Surprise, everybody listening. Omar's the guest this week, and here's why. It's his birthday, and so I feel like it's his week to celebrate himself.
It's a real M. Night Shyamalan twist, you guys. You didn't see it coming because I played it so cool, but I was booked on Foodie Call and I'm getting paid in residuals.
Yeah, and it was a really hard time getting a hold of your publicist to find a time to book you for this.
Yeah, every time you called yourself, your phone was busy.
And I really didn't prepare this interview at all because I kind of just wanted it to be organic. I feel like you and I
are... just like the food we like.
Yeah, we don't buy organic. I try, but it's expensive, and I'm too honest at the grocery store. I have a lot of friends who say, oh, I buy organic, and then just go through the self-checkout and type in the PLU number for the non-organic. But I can't be that dishonest.
This is how honest I am. Earlier today, so I had the CBS rehearsal earlier today. Afterwards, we all went to this bar called... funny enough, Residuals. And
oh, I love that place in Studio City.
Yeah.
My ex-boyfriend used to take me there.
All right, well, this interview is over, guys. Thank you for listening.
He's our number one fan.
Donate to Puerto Rico. We'll see you guys later. No, we went to Residuals, just like hang out afterward and get to know each other a little more better.
Wow.
Más mejor.
He's a writer.
Más mejor.
Okay.
So I pulled into the first time I went last week, I didn't know they had a parking lot. So I just like parked on the street at a meter. This time I knew. So I pulled in, but then for whatever reason, like got really worried that they would get mad at me because I wasn't planning on buying any drinks. I was just going to get water. And I just thought like someone would yell at me like, hey, you can't park here unless you're going to buy a drink. And then I would have been like, oh, okay. And then so I just left and I parked on the street at a meter and paid $1.50 so I could park there for an hour and a half. That's how honest I am.
Honest Omi.
Honest Omi. Like Abe.
So can you tell the listeners a little bit about this CBS program that you're in? Because I'm still so excited that you're in it and I get all weepy telling people about it because I'm just so proud of you.
Yeah, I could tell. So CBS sponsors this program, this sketch writing program, every year, and it's to promote diversity in entertainment, both in acting and in writing. So they cast a bunch of like diverse actors, diverse in terms of like race and sexual orientation and ethnicity. I already said race, whatever.
Gender to women.
Yeah, yeah, gender to women.
So women are like gravely underrepresented.
Yeah, women are real underrepresented.
Especially women of color, but in writers' rooms especially.
Exactly, yeah. So the actors are really diverse, and then the writers are also very diverse too. The submission was sometime over the summer, early summer, I believe, and I worked on a little packet. They asked for two short sketches. So I worked on those, got some feedback from some friends, submitted them, and got to the interview portion or whatever level.
Yeah.
And they sent us an email and said, "Hey, come for this interview on this day, and it's not a guarantee that you made it. This isn't like an automatic you made it, but we want to interview you." So then I went and I felt like I bombed it because they interviewed us like four at a time, which I thought was dumb. And they didn't like really like ask us any questions. They just talked at us. And then at the end, they're like, "Tell us a little bit about yourself." And then everyone went, you know, all the other interviewees had a little like back and forth with the people interviewing. And when I gave my spiel, they were just like, "Okay." And then they moved on. And so I was like, "Ugh, I didn't stand out enough. I didn't click with them. Oh, I'm not going to get it." But then it turns out, I think just everyone that they interviewed got it, because I think they were just like making sure you weren't like a weirdo or whatever. So at least everyone that was in my interview group made it. And so, so we started a couple weeks ago. First, the writers all got together and like went through this little mini boot camp to A, get to know each other, then B, just to kind of get a feel for how the program is going to work, what the schedule is going to be like, how the process is of like submitting sketches. And then last week we got to meet a majority of the actors. I think they're still casting, and then there were some like that just weren't available. So we got to meet them and see their skills. They like auditioned for us to show us their characters, their impressions, all that good stuff. And yeah, now we've gotten into the writing portion of it. So 3 times a week for the rest of this month, and then starting in November, 4 times a week, November, December, and January. Up until the last week of January, we're going to have a big showcase where we're going to put on 25 sketches, I believe. For this, like a bunch of CBS executives, agents, managers, all sorts of like TV Hollywood industry is going to be at these showcases to watch the actors. And primarily, the program is meant to get the actors roles. Like, it's meant for them to get booked. But, you know, it should help us to, like, but that's just kind of how life is. And they break it down to us too. Like, they're making sure, like, we don't get our hopes up. Like, "Oh my God, I'm going to be the next best thing. I'm going to be like Tina Fey." But it's like, well, Tina Fey also like starred in front of the camera, so that's why people know her. People don't really know writers, which is fine. I'm not like super thirsty for fame. But I want, well, in terms of like, right. Like, of course I want to be a stand-up comedian that people know, but, like, I'm not like super like thirsty.
You're not trying to be Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
He's like a household name.
So like the actors will probably get like a lot more notoriety, but the writers should get something out of it too. Like, I'm hoping to get like some sort of, I don't know, representation, like an agent or a manager from it.
Or hopefully, even getting plucked and pulled into a writer's room of a show with an opening. I mean, that would be great.
Yeah. And then just like meeting all the other writers and the actors and just like building those relationships that, you know, will probably lead to work or something else down the road. You know, someone will be like, "Hey, do you know someone who can write this?" And then they'll be like, "Yes, my friend Omar Nava. I wrote with him back at the CBS Diversity Showcase back in 2017. He would be a perfect fit." And then they can just reject me to my face instead of through a friend. But the opportunity will be there, hopefully.
But the other big thing about this is it's a really competitive program to get into. And in years past, they accepted 90 writers. And this year, they only accepted 30. So
yeah, they like cut down the number of writers. I am. They cut down the number of writers because, I think maybe it was just too many like writers in the past. And they don't all get a sketch in. And B, I think they also... since they know that it kind of helps the actors more, they kind of wanted to make this year better for the writers. So presumably if there are less writers, the chances that you get a sketch into the final showcase increase, and thus the odds of you like impressing some Hollywood industry type during the showcase, they'll ask who wrote that sketch, then you know you might have a chance.
All right, I'm bored with talking about this.
Why did you want to interview me then?
I didn't expect you to give a 10-minute answer.
Well, I'm sorry.
I was expecting like a 3-sentence synopsis, but that
but
was
then
a
you would
answer.
Have gotten mad at me and been like, Omi, tell them all about this and that.
That's my job, like, okay. To prod if I want more answer. It's fine. You're doing a good job. Let's go back
in
time.
Worst interview we've ever had.
I want people to know about the true Omi. Tell me a little bit about, like, growing up, you were the smart kid in the family. And
we were all smart.
Okay.
I just happened to be the most book smart.
Okay.
Like, my brother, like, we were all very smart. We all, like, if you guys follow me on Instagram, which you probably don't and you probably should, just dig back a few years. Do a little stalking. I posted a picture of, like, our trophy case, like, a few years ago of when we were kids. And it's just, like, it takes up a whole wall. It's, like, 5 shelves tall, and it's just loaded with trophies. It's all of us, my 2 brothers, Marco and Joaquin, my sister Yanina, and myself. We were just like the ideal perfect kids in terms of like school activities. Like, we did sports, we did extracurricular, like nerd stuff. I happened to do more nerd stuff than the others. Like, Marco and Joaquin got a lot of trophies from sports. And I know what you guys are thinking. Oh, they're millennials. They probably just got participation trophies. Well, maybe
they
some
didn't.
Of them
I
are.
I checked,
but, yeah.
Because all the trophies I had growing up were participation because I was garbage at sports. But all of these trophies are like first place.
Yeah, they're like giant trophies. You don't spend that much money on a bunch of participation trophies that are 2 feet tall.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So they did. They have more sports trophies, and then I just have more nerd trophies. So, in that sense, I guess, I was the smart one.
But, like, so growing up, I mean, you were in, like, the mathletes, and you were, like, state champion of math for, like, 2 years as a child.
Yeah. But I mean, like, my siblings were in the math team, too. But, right. I got state champion 6th and 7th grade.
But, so, I guess what I'm getting at is, like, you were on such a straight path of a very specific career for so long. Like, you were so talented at math and science all the way through school that you became number 3 in your high school class.
Mm-hmm.
You went to Rice and you studied engineering.
The
like
Harvard of the South.
Yeah, which you told me that on our first date and I really didn't believe you because I had never heard of it. And then I called my mom and told her I went on a date with some guy who claims he went to the Southern Harvard. And then I said, she goes, what school? And I said, Rice. And then I go, but nobody's ever heard of that. And then my mom got so pissed at me that I had never heard of Rice. And I go, well, that's because you sent me to UW Oshkosh, Alice. Anyway, I digress. Like, did you ever, I mean, you're not an engineer anymore. But did you ever, throughout your childhood and, like, teen years, have a thought of, like, oh, I'm on the path to do this one thing, but I'm not really sure about it. I really like being funny, or I really like writing.
Well, I mean, I guess growing up, I didn't actually like writing. I mean, I didn't know about, like, writing,
like
I guess,
TV writing.
Comedy. Yeah, like, yeah. TV writer, like, or even just comedy writing. I liked being funny. Like, I liked cracking jokes. I mean, I feel like all kids do, but I would do, like, every Monday morning, I would come to school and just, like, recap SNL. Just, like, word for word, like, every sketch, play every character to all my friends. Even though they'd seen it, they're like, yeah, we saw that one. I'm like, no, but remember when Jim Carrey was on it? And then it was like,
yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like that helped, like, at least with stand-up, some of my comedic timing, just, like, aping some of those sketches. But, no, I think what it was I just really enjoyed math and science. I feel like if you're going to be a state champ. Yeah, and I still do.
You do your taxes by hand.
By hand, guys. And I don't mean like TurboTax. Like, I get the old booklet, the like
I don't think newspaper people know that
paper. They probably don't. There's like a little booklet that's made of like newspaper paper, like that crappy like paper that like easily smears ink over everything. And I pick that up at the library, and then I do my taxes by hand and do all the calculations. Yeah, with a pencil and paper because I love it. But and if you guys need tax help, just come to me. I charge very little. But yeah, I loved math and science. And so up until, God, like probably all the way through college, I didn't know what I wanted to be. I just knew that I wanted to study math and science. Like I just enjoyed it. And so I got a degree in engineering. I feel like if you like math and science, that's just the area of study that you like gravitate to. So yeah, I got a degree in mechanical engineering, and then after I graduated, that's when I started thinking, okay, now what do I do with this? So I don't know. It was one of those things like I definitely should have thought of before I graduated.
I think you really can't, when you're that age,
it's
you
hard.
You can't fathom the real world until you're in it.
Yeah, you don't know what's out there. I mean, some people do, obviously, but like
really.
Just like in terms of like what kind of jobs there are, like because people
or
would ask me
what it means to have a job, because on paper, like being a producer sounds glamorous, and in reality, being a producer is like a lot of bitch work and like just paperwork.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody told me that in college.
It's kind of the same with engineering. Like going through it, they're like, people would ask me, oh, what do you want to be? I said, an engineer. And they're like, okay. And then like one guy from, I forgot where, he was like, okay, but what does an engineer do? And I was like, they engineer. And I didn't really know what that meant. I just thought I was going to be like doing math and science all day. And there are some engineering jobs that do that. But then I got a job in engineering after college, and it wasn't really that at all. It was like, I don't know, it was just like other stuff. Like I used a computer and like Microsoft Excel a lot, and it was fine. I worked at General Motors for a few years. And
you
like
were analyzing data.
Yeah, it's just like looking at a lot of data and just like tweaking things. I mean, that job was. So I don't know, it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. But then again, I didn't know what I thought it was going to be. Like I didn't know what to expect in an engineering job. And then just like talking to other friends, I had a lot of good friends in college that were also engineers, and keeping up with them and what kind of engineering jobs they had after college, I just kind of didn't want to try any of them. So I just took some time off. I took a year off and traveled around the country, and finally kind of thought about actually pursuing comedy, or at least like trying, giving it the old college try. I told myself that I would have regretted not trying it. And so, like, me and one of my friends, Perry, we would talk about the Comedy Central sketch show we would have someday. So we would, like, email each other. Like, while I was at GM, I would email him and this other guy, Alec, just, like, ideas that we had for sketches or shows or whatever. And we, like, wrote back and forth, like, over the course of 2 years. And finally, I was like, all right, it's enough time. It's enough talk. I'm just going to try this out. And so I did stand up in El Paso for like 4 months. I did a few open mics and then got too big for that pond, moved on up to L.A. and quickly faded into an abyss where there are millions of comedians and everyone is trying to be funny. But yeah, I've been at it for 7 years now. And no engineering in sight.
I'm really proud of you. I have to say, it's so easy to get jaded really quickly out here. Like, I'm jaded. And I've turned my back on what I moved out here for. And it's really easy when you don't get instant gratification to be like, I'm over this. And you never give into that. You just, like, your mindset is, like, comedy. This is what I do. This is what I will always do. This is why I'm here. You don't ever flirt with change.
Yeah, and maybe this is just my personality. I've never been an impulsive person. So even when I was at GM and I knew, like, a year in, I knew I didn't want to work there, I still decided to give it some time and like think about it, and then like think about what I was going to do afterward. And I talked about it. I told my mom. I talked to Danielle about it. And then finally, I decided I was going to move. And my parents, a lot of people ask me, like, oh, are your parents pissed that they shelled out all this money for you to be an engineer and then you're, like, wasting your degree? And honestly, they're not. A, because they've seen me perform and they know I got the chaps. But B, they know I'm not an impulsive guy. So they know I wasn't just throwing it away. Like, I gave it serious thought and consideration before I finally decided to try this out to, you know, take a leap of faith, I guess. And so now I live out here in LA, and I guess similarly, like, just like from what I've seen, I'm sure everyone, when you first get here, you think, okay, I'm gonna make it in a year or whatever, I'm gonna blow up.
Yeah.
And I probably
I gave myself a timeline and I shouldn't have.
Yeah. And I had that to somewhat, but after a while I just realized, like, oh no, this is a marathon, it's not a sprint.
Yeah.
Like there's a saying in, I don't know, I guess Hollywood, maybe just comedy, they say it takes 10 years to become an overnight sensation.
Yeah.
Because I mean, to the public, they just think, oh man, Zach Galifianakis really exploded onto the scene in The Hangover. But it's like, nah, man, dude, he's been doing stand-up for like 15 years before that or whatever. Yeah. It was. Like every funny comedian that you know that you're like, wow, this guy's great, where do you come from? It's like, from stand-up. For 20 years of his life, he or she's been doing stand-up. So I just kind of accepted that. And also maybe I'm just older, so I'm just lazier, not lazy, but like more chill. Like, no. I don't need the instant gratification. I'm like cool with like waiting things out and like having things happen when they're supposed to happen.
It has nothing to do with your age. I've met other comedians who, you know, who are older than you, and they're insanely neurotic and like they're insane.
Yeah.
I'm not going to list their names, but it's like
90%
of the comedy crowd out here is like in need of, dire need of Xanax.
What if you named names and then I was blacklisted from LA comedy because my girlfriend ruined my career?
No, they're all people I don't like, which surprisingly cool. I dislike a lot of people. Anyways, I want you to tell me a little bit about who, like, what do you think made you funny? Or who?
I wrote an essay about this recently for those writing programs. So in addition to the CBS sketch program, I also submitted to some other network-sponsored writing programs, and a lot of them had similar questions. And so I answered these essay questions, or at least one similar to this. So growing up, my dad was like, I mean, he had, like, dad jokes like everyone else, but there were, like, Spanish dad jokes, and, like, Spanish humor, at least in Mexico, is, like, a lot of wordplay. And so my dad, or at least maybe just to kids, you know, like, I'm sure there are dirty jokes that my dad wouldn't tell us ever because he's that kind of dad that, like, never swore. He doesn't swear to begin with, but, like, would never swear in front of us. So all the jokes were just, like, wordplay. Like, some of my favorite, like, I don't know, they're not street jokes, but just like silly kitty wordplay jokes, or like these Spanish jokes that he told me, where he told me once that he was Chino, he was Chinese, and it's because he has a very patchy beard. So he would say, mi barba crece chino, chino. And he'd like point to the patches, like it grows here, see, like yes, no. Anyway, if you get Spanish, you get the joke. And if you don't, then maybe you're thinking, that's not funny. But it is. It's very funny. And so just like silly jokes like that. So I got really like into wordplay. Are you going to say something?
No, oh. I was hoping you were going to explain to people that don't speak in Spanish what you were talking about.
See, no, like yes, no.
So my chi is supposed to be like C, and he's pointing to where he has hair,
beard hair.
And then when there's a patch, he'd point to and say no. Yeah.
Okay. Chi, no. Yes, no. Yes, no. Beard, no. Beard, no.
Yeah.
It's very funny. Try it out on all your Spanish-speaking friends.
For a second, when you introduced the joke, I was worried it was about to get racist.
No. I mean, there are some, like, not like super racist. But
Spanish,
like,
in general makes me uncomfortable when it comes to talking about race, because you describe a black person, and the word black in Spanish is negro, And that in itself makes me feel so white and wrong.
Yeah, but it's like, well, like in English, we say black. And that's just how you say black in Spanish. But it just sounds like another word that we're not supposed to. Well, you seem to say it a lot for someone who hates
it. Stop it! Oh, my
God! I'm just kidding. Anyway, so my dad's like wordplay, cheesy dad jokes, I always enjoyed. And so now I like use wordplay in English. And then the other one is my grandma, my tita, was just like so, she was just so funny. Like, and I don't even know how to explain it. Just like she would say like outlandish, inappropriate things and just like, had like a sailor's mouth on her. She would like curse and just like she didn't care, you know. She's lived her life. She just wants to say whatever's on her mind. But then just like also really silly things. Like one time this is just like a story. She didn't even plan this, but she's just so naturally funny. One time she was complaining about how much her feet hurt all day. She complained about how much her feet hurt. Her feet hurt. Oh, Marcos, Gloria, my feet hurt. And then finally, like by the end of the day, my other grandma, my nan, she looks down and notices that my grandma, my tita's shoes were on the wrong feet. So she had her left foot on her left shoe on her right foot and her right shoe on her left foot. And she was walking like that all day and she didn't even notice. And it was just like the funniest thing.
Did this have anything to do with Alzheimer's?
No, this was when she was not.
How long ago was this?
This was like 20 years ago or whatever, like not even close to Alzheimer's. She was just silly like that.
She did that on purpose or
no? No, not on purpose. It's just like she didn't, like it never occurred to her that she would have put on her shoes backwards. So she just like complained the whole day. And I don't know, just like so many silly things like that.
She also had a potty mouth, right?
Yeah. She would just like swear and just like say whatever, like, ay, cabrona, chinga, whatever. Mom,
what's
don't
that
listen.
Mean in
English? Nah, just like a bunch of like swear words. I mean, I don't actually really know the literal translations, but I just know that when I repeated them, my mom would be like, ah, don't say that. Yell at my tita, don't talk like that in front of them. And then she like, ah, whatever. So anyway, so I think that's where I got like a lot of my silliness tendencies from.
Your tita was hilarious. I remember, this is like my favorite story about her. When I was visiting El Paso with you a couple years ago, she had, at this point, removable teeth.
She's had removable teeth since I was a child.
Oh, okay.
And I'll tell another story about that after this.
Tita has a sweet tooth and everybody knows that. And we came home late one night from your brother's house and we had cake. And then she was like up. And she doesn't speak any English, by the way.
Yeah, she knows like some words, like a snowman.
Or I love you.
Or I love you. I love you too.
Yeah. So like I would speak in Spanish with her when I would speak to her. And we had cake and we were eating a piece. And she just kind of like sat down at the table and started helping herself to our piece of cake. And so I was like, oh, Tita, do you want some cake? And she said, yeah. And then she was like using her fingers. She wasn't even using a fork.
You just saw this like slow little old hand just reach across the table and just like take some of your cake and then bring it back and like into her
slowly
mouth.
Slowly put it into her mouth, which I thought was hilarious. So I was like, okay, Tita, you can have this cake. You've already stuck your hands into it. And then like she was a very slow eater because she was just a very slow mover.
And had no teeth.
5 minutes into her eating the cake, I realized why she was so slow was because she never teeth them.
So she's just gumming this cake.
And I was like, Tita, ¿dónde están tus dientes? Like, where are your teeth? And she, like, looked at me, and she at this point, she had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, so, like, she didn't speak as much. And then, like, but she would,
she
like,
understood.
When I talked to her, I could tell when she was under, you could see it in her eyes. And then she looked at me And, like, a big smile, like, started to slowly form across her face. And then she started laughing, but kept putting the cake in her mouth. Like,
yeah.
She realized she didn't have her teeth in, and she just didn't care.
Not at all. And that was, she would do that so many times, where, like, you'd call her out on something, and she would just, like, smile and, like, laugh at you, like, well, that's me.
I'm the grandma.
Yeah. So one time, we were crossing the bridge from Juarez to El Paso. And sometimes that bridge just took forever, just like traffic, you know, the border patrol's got to interrogate you, whatever. And so we'd just be stuck in the car for like an hour. And my grandma was like chatty. She's always chatty. And she was like chatty in the van. And then up to a point, and then she just like stopped talking. And so like the rest of us, it was like my parents, myself, my siblings, I think, were there, and my grandma. And then she like just got real quiet. And I was like, Tita, ¿por qué no estás hablando? Like, why aren't you talking? And then she showed me, she had started chewing gum, and it, like, got stuck in her teeth, and it, fused them together. Like, her teeth, her top and bottom teeth were stuck together, and she had just, like, taken it out of her mouth.
She was just holding her teeth?
Well, I think for a while she just had it in her mouth and, like, couldn't open, and then eventually, yeah, just took her teeth out with the gum on them. And just, like, showed me. And I just died laughing. I couldn't even. It was just so funny.
She was a very funny lady. Now that you're in Hollywood.
Watch out.
You've been doing comedy for a while. What is something that you've learned from your time as a stand-up? Or something that you didn't expect to take away from this career?
I think one of the biggest lessons that that I learned and that a lot of people have to learn is that you have to just stay in your lane, I guess. And by that I mean, like, everyone has their own path. I don't know. It sounds, like, very recycled. But truth be told, like, it's easy to, like, look into other people's lanes, look at other people's lives, other peers, other comedians, and see their success or whatever, and then think, oh, I should have that. But it's just different for everyone. Like, not everyone has the same timeline. Not everyone's going to have the same trajectory. So that's just something that I wasn't super like that when I first got here, but it did, like, seep into my head, and it did kind of cast some doubt into my head, in my own head, of, like, well, if I'm going to make it or not. And I just kind of had to, like, remember, and I still do to these days, just have to remember, like, no, like, their success does not, it's not like there's a limited number of spots, yeah, too. Like, if someone makes it or whatever that term means to you, that doesn't mean there's less making it for you. Like, everyone has their own goals that they're going to achieve at their own timeline. So that was a big thing to learn, especially because, like, I mean, I was kind of a bit full of myself growing up, like, not intentionally, but just, like, because I was a state champ, I just, things like math came naturally to me, and then being funny was kind of natural to me. So I just kind of, in my head, always want to be the best at everything. And I don't think I give off that vibe. Like, I hope I don't give off that vibe of, like, this air of superiority, but in my head I am, like, pretty competitive. So, like, even in today's rehearsals for sketches, like, I was a little bummed that someone else's sketches, like, got more laughs than mine, but still,
I,
like,
think that's natural though. Everybody,
yeah,
that way.
And rather than be, like, salty and, like, hate them, I went over and I was like, dude, that was so funny. So I guess going back to, like, you know, staying in your lane or whatever, like, everything's going to happen to different people at different times. So rather than, like, be negative and hold that grudge or whatever, for whatever reason, wasting energy on that, just, like, be happy for them and just know that it'll eventually come to you whenever it does.
Yeah, I mean, it is a cliche, but it needs to be said. Like, it has taken me years to teach myself to believe that. Like, you can know it, but to believe it is a different story, because in entertainment, it is so easy to let this industry bring out the worst in you.
Yeah.
This industry is designed to make you awful. And, like, I think the people that come out on top are the ones who, like you, like, you know your true authentic self and you know what works for you. And you're not going to change your voice or your career strategy just because somebody else you know got big doing something else. I've had to talk myself out of doing that like 8,000 times a day. But a lot of people go through that.
Yeah.
You see your best friend hit success and then you're like, oh, I should have done what he just did.
Right.
That was just a side thought.
No, yeah. It's like you said, it's something that probably everyone that moves into this city for these reasons, and maybe probably elsewhere too, like in life, it's easy to just look at someone else's life and, I don't know, grass is always greener, but, you know, just be happy with your lawn.
All right, Omi, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
In 10 years, I will be a nationally touring stand-up comedian whilst also writing, 10 years? Probably
on my own show. Your balls are going to be so old.
Yeah, oh my God, down to my knees.
Old balls.
No, and I'd say in 10 years, I'd like to have my own show at that point. I mean, at this point, I'd say sketch, just because I really like sketch. But I've also come around to and started thinking more about, like, sitcom ideas, like just like a standard comedy half-hour show on TV.
Good.
Yeah, maybe write a feature or two. That's what we in the business call a movie.
I like that. And I'll be retired because you'll make so much money.
Right. You'll just be living off my income.
Just kidding. I'm way too neurotic to retire. I'm going to have to work all my life because I'm an insane person. All right, Omi. Last question. What's your secret sauce?
We didn't even talk about my favorite food.
What is your favorite food?
Well, I have two. One's menudo and one is mole. Mexican
food. Would you like to talk about what they are and why?
Sure. Menudo's
a... what your secret sauce is.
Menudo's a hearty beef or beef tripe stew. And it's got hominy, like corn kernels, but like a certain kind of corn in this like spicy-ish... I like red menudo. They have different variations in Mexico, but I like red menudo with the tripe and the hominy. Some places just do red with tripe. Some places do white with tripe. I don't know. I like it the way my parents make it. And the story behind menudo is that it's the poor man's food because when the butcher would sell off all the good parts of the cow, the poor people would just get the scraps. So they decided, all right, we're just going to make a soup out of this. And they made menudo out of the tripe, the tripas. And now it's one of my favorite foods. And funny enough, the other favorite food I have is mole, which is a very regal Mexican food. It was created by the natives when they learned that the Spanish royalty was going to visit Mexico and they wanted to impress them. So they gathered up all their ingredients, all sorts of peppers. I think it's got like, I don't know, 7 different peppers, chocolate, which sounds gross, but trust me, it works.
It's cocoa.
Cocoa, yeah. Yeah, it's not like milk chocolate. It's like bitter cocoa that's like mixed with these peppers and other seasonings and spices to get like a nice savory, but like slightly sweet flavor. And usually that sauce, I like it on chicken. You can have it on other meats, and again, there are different kinds of mole. I believe that version is like mole poblano, like the dark mole. And my mom, I like my mom's mole because she makes it a little sweeter than normal. So those are my two favorite foods, the richest food and the poorest food of Mexico.
Do you have any recommendations, like where's the best mole and the best menudo that you've ever had?
Well, the best mole here in LA, I would say, is Guelaguetza, but that's just because it's probably the only place that I know that serves mole. But it is pretty good. And you can also get chapulines.
Which are?
Fried crickets.
Yeah, but they're good.
They're really good.
Sounds gross.
And they look gross.
Fear Factory.
Yeah, but they're very good.
Yeah.
But yeah, Guelaguetza has good And I actually don't even know if I'm saying that right. There are no umlauts, so I'm assuming it's not Guelaguetza.
I think it's Guelaguetza.
Yeah. But yeah, and they have different variations of menudo too, like the poblano, the red, the dark, the green, like all sorts of different menudos. I'm sorry, moles. And then in El Paso, there's a great place called La Choza, and they are like open all night and have really good menudo.
First time I had La Choza was when Omar and I were on a 24-hour bender with his family. We stayed up late in L.A. to see the Book of Mormon. We didn't get to bed till midnight. We woke up at 3 a.m. to catch a flight to go to El Paso. We landed. We were exhausted, and we couldn't sleep because we had to immediately start helping set up a baby shower. And then the baby shower went until 10 p.m. because that's the way Latino families do baby showers, which was news to me. And then his family convinced us to go out for one drink, and that one drink had us out until 6 in the morning, where we found ourselves nursing a hangover at La Choza.
A perfect night.
It was really fun. And my family would never do anything like that. All right, Naomi. What's your secret sauce?
All right. Well, the reason I brought up my favorite food was so that I could stall, because I know as a host of this podcast, I know that the question is coming, and I still didn't prepare.
That's
fine. I still don't know what it is. But I will say my secret sauce is laughter. It goes great with everything. It pairs well with a nice Shiraz, whatever. It pairs well with a nice Pinot.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I mean, I'm a comedian, so I like to laugh. I like to make other people laugh. And honestly, I think just the world's a better place when everyone's happy and laughing, and it extends your life. Science has proven. You know, don't take everything so seriously. Of course, you know, the serious things take seriously, like your taxes. Ugh, do your math. But, like, the little things, don't worry about them. Let them roll off your back, laugh about them, and just be happy.
That was very beautiful.
It was okay.
It was a good made-up answer for being on the spot, even though you knew it was coming.
I know, yeah. I actually copied it from, I Googled what's secret sauce, and that was what came up, and I just read it word for word off a teleprompter.
All right, Omi. I'm really glad I got to share with, got you to share with the world what makes you special.
Yeah, I would never tell anyone this on my own, and if you dare repeat it, I'll slap you. Don't you dare let anyone know about me. I'm a mystery.
These are some of the stories that made me fall in love with you, so I'm glad that you shared them with the world. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
On Twitter and Instagram, @OmarXNava. On Facebook, Omar Nava Comedy. Check out my website, OmarNavaComedy.com. Actually, don't, because it's temporarily unavailable. It's there, but it's not. Something happened and it's messed up. Sorry, I gotta fix that.
But truly, following Omar on social media actually really does help his career. And as his manager, I'm letting you know that a follow and a like on his Facebook page takes 10 seconds for you to do, but makes a big difference in the grand scheme of life. So it's very much appreciated. With that being said, if you've made it this far into the podcast and you haven't already, please subscribe. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/foodiecallpodcast. And our Instagram account, where we post photos and sometimes food, and occasionally we share on our story what we're eating. We love you all so much. Omar, I love you even more. And we'll see you guys next week.
I love you too.
Bye.
And you, audience. Bye.
Hold on. I got to get this.